Today's reading is from Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 to 25. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbour as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desire of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit is what contrary to the flesh. That are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. If you lead by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and these fans. And the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is joy, is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying of each other. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Matthew. Can you give Matthew a round of applause for that one? Because that one was not easy. Good morning. Sorry I was a bit late. Tony Smith, who used to be the reader here, has served faithfully at Adwick and then at Skelbrook for many years. He had a minor stroke earlier in the week and he's not well enough. So that's why I went to Skelbrook to lead a very simple service of morning prayer this morning. So thank you to Liz and all the others who held the fort. Before I preach, I just need to address the light blue elephant in the room. There are, I know, in this room, many different opinions about the events that took place on Thursday and Friday of this week. Some of us are happy about that. Some of us are sad about that. Some of us are joyful about that. Some of us are depressed about that. I am not going to proclaim which side is right or which side is wrong. I'm going to remind us of what we are called to do as friends and followers of Jesus Christ. We are called first to love one another. Look around the room. Look around the room. You are going to spend eternity with these people. So you better start to learn how to love them now. Because it's going to be easier to do it now than it is then. Love one another. What did Jesus say? By this shall all people know that you are my disciples, if you have this love one for another. If you know the next hymn that I'm about to quote, your knees probably ache in damp weather. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. Whatever our opinions are in politics, if people cannot see the love of Jesus in the way we treat one another, then what use are we as the church of God? We must love one another, and all the more We must love harder when we disagree than when we agree. Because it is harder to love someone you disagree profoundly with. So let us love one another. Secondly, and here I shall put both hands up, we are called to be kind. And I confess before you that I have not always been kind about the way I have expressed my views about others' politics. You have my permission to call me out. If you see me say something from here or from my back door or on Facebook that you do not think is kind, not that I disagree with your point of view, that's not what I mean, but if you think I've disagreed in a way which is not kind, message me. Please don't put it on the comments. I try not to criticize people publicly that I know. I do my challenge privately and my praise publicly, or that's what at least I try to do. But if you think I have been unkind, then challenge me. I don't promise to agree with you, but you have the right to challenge me. However, I'm going to make an assumption that if you choose to challenge me about when I'm not being kind, you're giving me the same permission to challenge you when I don't think you're being kind. Yeah? We are called to love one another and we are called to be kind. And the third thing I think we are called to do in these days is to speak truth to power. The Christian church has always been called to speak truth to power. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a Christian pastor in Germany who ultimately decided that he needed to be part of a plot to try and bring to an end the life of Adolf Hitler. I don't know enough about Bonhoeffer to be able to agree or disagree with him, but he tried for years and years and years to speak truth to power. And Christians have been persecuted for centuries for doing that. Whoever is in power, we are called to speak truth to them. We are called to speak up for the least, the last, and the lost. That is our call. Whoever is in charge, whether it's a political party that we like or a political party that we loathe. I wrote a letter to Ed Miliband last week making very clear my views on some of the current government's policies. I am fortunate to have a relationship with Ed Miliband that means that he listens to things I say and doesn't just put them in his bit bucket. I will use the position I have and the influence I have to speak truth to power. And that is what we need to do. Whether you agree with who is in power or not, our job as Christians is to speak truth to power for the sake of the least, the last, and the lost. So love one another. Be kind and speak truth to power for the sake of the least, the last, and the lost. And they will know that we are friends and followers of Jesus Christ. I was going to say here then is the sermon, but actually here begins the sermon. Right, you will know that sometimes vicars wear robes, you know, the big long dress. You know I'm not into it. Sometimes we'll wear what's called a stole, which is like a scarf. One of the stoles that we wear is sometimes purple, which is for penitence. I am going to wear a stole while I preach today. Out of penitence for things that I have said in this building. Because I have said that I felt that a particular group of people were not as skilled as others. But sadly, Leeds have just won the championship. So as an act of penance, I shall wear a Leeds scarf. I was wrong. Be kind. The fruit of the Spirit. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. I learnt those words a long time ago. Actually, I would personally say faith, not faithfulness, but we'll argue about that one when we get to it. It's not many things, and I'll try and explore some of that today and over the course of the next few weeks. But the list starts with love. Everything starts with love. If you want one single word that sums up the entirety of our faith, it is love. The first and greatest commandment is this: love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. The second is like, namely this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two hang all the law and the prophets. Love is at the heart of what we do. The problem we have is that sometimes people's fruits get a bit wonky. Because the fruit of the Spirit's not a coconut. You meet some people who think that they are full of the milk of human kindness. And actually what you discover is it's not milk, and they're as hard as a nut. Nothing penetrates. Nothing gets through. That's not a fruit of the Spirit. Pretending that we're something that we're not is not a fruit of the Spirit. Being hard is not a fruit of the Spirit. Sorry, John. Sorry, Andrew. Being hard is not a fruit of the Spirit. We're called to be gentle-hearted, not hard-hearted. Love, this is actually disgusting to hold. I don't like holding coconuts. This is not love. This is not what a fruit of the Spirit looks like. What was next? Banana. A banana is a rubbish fruit. Let me explain. I've asked this question before, so I'm hoping somebody remembers the answer and is feeling smug. What's an apple tree for? So, to growing more apples. May I disagree with you? That's the one. An apple tree is, a job of an apple tree is to make more apple trees. Not to make apples. If the job of an apple tree is just to make apples, one day you will have no apples. If the job of an apple tree is to make apple trees, you can enjoy some of the apples and plant more trees, and then next year you can enjoy more apples and still plant more apples. This is a rubbish fruit. Who knows the trivia fact about bananas that means they're a rubbish fruit? Your hand went up first.
It dies. It's
good. There's another reason. Say again? Ah. It's still a rubbish fruit even if you call it a herb. Do you know why? Banana plants are sterile. This has no seeds in it. What point is a fruit without seeds? This cannot produce another banana plant. I can't plant a banana and create another banana plant. No, that's where the seeds used to be. That's like, you know, the gooey bit in the middle of a pumpkin. And then you get the seeds. Those bits are the leftovers, but they haven't got any seeds in that gooey bit. There are no seeds in a banana. You cannot plant the seed of a banana. You can only plant cuttings of a banana, which means banana plants are extremely susceptible to disease, because if a disease turns up that can kill a banana plant, it can kill every banana plant. Say again? It grows again from the same stock. It's not like a seed that makes, it's like a bulb that grows up again and again. But you can't get a second banana plant. You can only get the same one again unless you take a cutting and cultivate it, and then you can get more banana plants. What point is a fruit that doesn't produce more trees? What point is a Christian whose love is such that they enjoy it, but who never actually do the task of telling others the good news of Jesus Christ? What point is a sterile Christian community that never shares its faith? That's not a fruit of the Spirit. Again, please feel free to disagree with me. I think I'm right. What was next? Watermelon. Watermelon. Woohoo! Watermelons are amazing. I remember sitting on the steps in Salzburg where they filmed Doe, a Deer, a Female Deer with Jackie many, many, many years ago, eating the most gorgeous watermelon in the hot blazing sun. But you know the problem with watermelons? They take a lot of work to carry, and to be honest with you, they're just water. There's very little substance to a watermelon. Some people would disagree with you. But, okay, there you are. You can have that one. But you see, watermelons, the image in my head is you get some Christians who are really puffed up and they look like they're full of God and full of the Spirit, and actually they're just full of water or full of hot air. They're not actually fruit of the Spirit. They're not actually full of God's Holy Spirit. They're just pumped up. You know when you go and buy chicken or whatever from the supermarket, have you ever looked at the label and seen what the percentage water is? Yeah. And what goes up as the price comes down? The percentage of water. They inject water into cheap meat to make it look like it's more. That's what a Christian that's not producing the right fruit is like. You puff yourself up to make yourself look like this wonderful Christian. Look at me, I'm huge. Not yet. You know what I mean? I'm trying to lose some weight this year. But actually what you discover is it's just all a bit inside. That's not a fruit of the Spirit. Next. Woohoo! How many bitter Christians have you come across? And it is so sad. It is a tragedy when I find and meet someone whose love and joy in Jesus has turned sour. Either because of their own choices or because of what others have done to them. I'm not judging people whose lives end in bitterness, because I've walked alongside a few of them, and I'm not sure I would be any different if what happened to them happened to me. Bitterness, though, is not a fruit of the Spirit. If you know that there is a root of bitterness in you, then please, please seek help. Seek help to root it out. It's not easy. I promise you it's not easy. But bitterness will kill the Christian life quicker than anything else. A lemon is not a fruit of the Spirit. Cherries. Who likes glacé cherries? It's the only way I like cherries. I couldn't find any cherries at Morrison's yesterday. So you nearly ended up with cherry pie filling. And then I suddenly went, aha, glacé cherries. They're wonderful. My abiding memory of them is on a cocktail stick at Christmas in a snowball at my grandma's. The only time I ever saw her drink. Woohoo! Half a glass of snowball and she was gone. Mind you, she was only a little lady, so half a glass of snowball to her was like a pint to a hobbit. Cherries. They only come out at Christmas. Have you noticed? What use is a Christmas... Oh. Or on a trifle. Or at a party. Yeah, yeah. Bring them out on high days and holy days. What use is a Christian who only turns up at Christmas and for parties? What use is it turning up for Christmas and not bothering for the rest of the year? Now, you're all here, so I'm preaching to the converted here. But you know what I mean? The fruit of the Spirit is not just something that we pull out for special occasions. It's meant to be who we are every moment of the day. It's so easy to be a Christian in here. Because A, everybody's watching, and B, everybody knows how they're meant to behave. It's so much harder being a Christian out there when you're the only one in the room. I've told this story before, so forgive me if you've heard it before. When I worked in industry, I wasn't a good example for Jesus on some days. I'll admit that. And I worried about the impact that I'd had. But there was one day, the guys were playing, we were a high-tech company, so we had computers that were linked together long before that was common. And the guys were playing a game called Carmageddon. I don't know if you know the game Carmageddon. Basically, it's a demolition derby type game, but you have to run over pedestrians to get points. And I was like, nah, not for me. And I came back in from lunch, and they were all crowded around this computer laughing and joking. And I said, oh, what are you playing? They went, oh, Stephen, you wouldn't want to know. Now you've got my attention. And I went, go on. They went, no, no, seriously, mate, this is not your thing. I'm like, I'm not going back to my desk now until I know what's on that screen. And they showed me it, and I went, do you know what? Thank you so much. That's not me. Thank you so much for caring. And I went to my desk, got my cup of tea, carried on with the day. About 6 weeks later, there were a group of them playing on the network in work. So you're all at your own computer in your own car. And one of the guys... I walked past and said, do you want to play? And I went, no, thanks. He went, oh, no, no, sorry, I forgot. Oh, hang on a minute. There's nice and fluffy mode. I'm like, what? And he showed me the computer screen with the settings, and it said nice and fluffy mode for little brother Kevin. And that was the setting. And there was a tick box next to it. And when you tick that box, all the pedestrians disappear, and it just becomes a demolition derby where cars bang into cars to get points. And he said, I can set it up so it's like that. And I said, oh, would you? He went, yeah, sure. And he ticked the box, and I played. Do you know what? They never played it in the other mode ever again, even when I wasn't playing. Don't just bring your Christianity out at Christmas and Easter, or on Sundays. It's meant to be 168 hours a week. 52 weeks of the year. That's what the fruit of the Spirit looks like, not like glacé cherries that come out on trifles and snowballs. That's not a fruit of the Spirit. Oh, and the last one, grapes. Candy floss grapes. I love candy floss grapes. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. No, I'm not gonna have the kindness one. I'll have the love one. I'll have the love grape, but I'm not gonna eat the kindness grape because the fruit of the Spirit is not a pick and choose buffet. I know I've got a bunch of grapes, so I'm gonna write the word love on one of those in a minute. The fruit of the Spirit is not like a bunch of grapes. You don't just get to choose the ones you like and leave behind the ones that leave you feeling a bit sour. You don't get to do that. The fruit of the Spirit is more like a raspberry. You know all the little bumps on a raspberry? They're individual little bits of the fruit. That's what the fruit of the Spirit is like. It's a single thing that God works out in us. I think there's a reason that love is first. Because love is where we're meant to start. And the other things follow on. Love, joy, peace, patience. That's when the rubber starts to hit the road. At first, the fruit of the Spirit is what God is pouring into us to transform us. Then, once God has started that transformation, it's meant to show in patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faith, and self-control. But this is not a pick-and-mix buffet. This is not Cosmo Church, where you get to decide which one you want to do or which person you want to love. This is a Spirit Church, where we're longing for God to bring all of these things. So the fruit of the Spirit's not a coconut. The fruit of the Spirit's not a banana. The fruit of the Spirit's not a watermelon. The fruit of the Spirit's not a lemon. The fruit of the Spirit's not a cherry. The fruit of the Spirit is not a grape. Because the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faith, and self-control. Shall we pray? Lord, would you come now through your Holy Spirit and so fill us that everyone around us will see the fruit of the Spirit growing in us. Amen. In terms of my penance have been fulfilled, I will never ever wear one of those ever again.
Never say never.